If you don't know it, our pastors are on vacation. But we are here today to worship God and to just let His presence come and overwhelm us. Before you leave today, you can just put your offering in a conspicuous place over there. That's just how we're going to do it. I want to talk to you today about something the Lord finally laid on my heart about 9:30 this morning. That's just the way God moves and how God flows, and it's just amazing when He speaks to us and speaks to our hearts. But I want to talk to you about the very Spirit of God. You know, the Spirit of God is holy, it's precious. There's nothing like the Spirit of God. Nothing like it. There's a lot of things we can't do, but there's a lot of things He can do. Father, I want to thank You for this day, Lord. I want to thank You for the privilege of sharing Your Word, Father God. Lord, as I minister, Father, I ask that You take complete control of the service of my lips, Father God, and as I speak, I'd speak as the oracles of God, Father, and that it would hit the mark, Father, that it would prick the heart, Father, that it would touch lives. It's not me, Father, but it's Your Word and it's Your Spirit, Father. And Lord, I ask You to do this. And Holy Spirit, You are welcome in this place, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. We know that many of us in here that have walked with the Lord for a while, we know that if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But do we really understand what that passage of Scripture is saying? Do we really understand that there's nothing we can do without God's Spirit? We're a hunk of mud without His Spirit. I want to read in Genesis. I want to start in Genesis. Because, see, it all began in Genesis. This world, God the Father, God moved. The Spirit of God moved. God said it, and it was the Spirit of God that created. It was the Spirit of God that formed. It's the Spirit of God that convicts. It's the Spirit of God that draws. It's His Spirit. It's not the Holy Church of God or the First Presbyterian Church. It's God's Spirit that draws men to salvation. But it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was, we're in Genesis 1. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now it's important that we understand that it was the God spoken, but it was His Spirit that moved. And we're living in a day where we need the Spirit of God to move. We need the very Spirit of God to convict, to draw, to even convict those of us that are saved. There are areas in each and every one of our lives that we need the Spirit of God to touch, to correct, and to heal. And God wants to do that very thing today. He wants the Spirit of God to first convict us and then allow that conviction to take place and work in us and let the Spirit of God flow in and into our lives so that He can change us. He can change us by the Word and by His Spirit. That's exactly how He's going to change us. We don't just all of a sudden decide, oh, I'm going to be a different person. No, I just didn't decide one day I'm going to become a Christian. No, I was drawn by the very Spirit of God before I became a Christian. I didn't maybe know exactly how to become a Christian, but the Spirit of God began to woo me and it began to draw me. And if you're saved, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you're not saved, then you don't know the precious wooing and drawing of the mighty Spirit of God. But this Spirit is mighty. This Spirit is powerful. There is no spirit in this world like the precious Holy Spirit of God. There is no other spirit like our God. But it says here in Genesis that the earth was formed and it was darkness all over it. And God spoke. And it was the Spirit of God. It wasn't God Himself, but it was His very, very Spirit that moved and created. And isn't it amazing? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, it dwells in our mortal body and it quickened us. It has quickened us and it has made us alive to those of us that have been born again. We have that very Spirit of life living on the inside of us. That very same Spirit that moved and created the heavens and the earth, the trees, the grass, everything that you see today, it was the very Spirit of God that created it. It wasn't just a Big Bang Theory. Here's my Big Bang Theory. God said it and God's Spirit created it. That is the Big Bang Theory. It, was the very Spirit of God that moved. It was His Spirit that created. Turn with me, please, to the book of Isaiah. We've got to understand that it's not by mind nor by power, but it is by the Spirit of God. You might have a husband or a wife that you're praying for, and you've asked them to do this, change this about them. They can't change it about themselves. You can't change it about themselves, but the Spirit of God can. We need to give way and get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit do His job. He does the convicting, not us. He's the convictor. Isaiah 30 and verse 1 says this: "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and that cover with a covering but not of my Spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt." There are many people today who don't, they just go and come and do as they please. They don't even ask God's permission. They don't even pray. They don't even seek God. They don't even ask the Holy Spirit of certain things they can do. And then we wonder why we're in trouble. Because we don't ask for God's guidance. We don't ask for God's wisdom. We don't ask the Spirit of God to lead us and to guide us into all truth necessarily. We want His Spirit to come over us and hover over us and give us goosebumps, but we don't want the very Spirit of truth to tell us what we're doing wrong. We don't want the very Spirit of truth to tell us the bad attitudes that we have and the bad attitudes that we need to get corrected and the very things. And we go to our banks and we seek for loans and things, and we don't necessarily go to the Spirit of, and hey, I've got this firsthand. I'm talking to myself here. I'm not just up here talking to y'all. This is for me as much as it is for you. There are too many times we just make decisions without even praying about them or allowing God's Spirit or giving God's Spirit a chance to move. Giving God's Spirit a chance to come through. Every time I've given God's Spirit a chance to move, He's moved and He's provided for me and my family. I remember a time somebody in our church gave us money to get our van fixed that we had one time. I didn't know where it was going to come from. Heather wasn't working at that time. Didn't know where the money was going to come from. Didn't know how we were going to get it fixed. But God provided. Because I wasn't hasteful. I didn't just jump the gun. I didn't get in front of the glory or the Spirit of God. Too many times we get ahead of God. And too many times we get behind God. But we need to stay right in sync with the Spirit of God. Well, how do you do that, Brother Sean? It's very, very, it's easier than we realize it. It's just bowing at the feet of Jesus and saying, "Lord, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come in my life, and Thy will be done in my life as it is in heaven." Too many times we get headstrong, especially us men, and we try to do things with our own ingenuity and our own strength. And that is why we get tired, because it's not in our strength. It's in our weakness that God's love and God's grace and God's power flows out the mightiest. Never in our strength, never in our wisdom, but in the wisdom that comes from above. See, it's the very Spirit of God that brewed upon this earth, that brewed upon you and me, that drew us by His Spirit to convict us and to save us. The Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Bible also goes on to say that when Jesus was a child, the Spirit bade Him into Galilee, and the Spirit led Him into the wilderness. And He was in the wilderness for 40 days and for 40 nights, and He was tempted of the devil. Now the Spirit led Him in there. We don't hear too many wilderness conferences, because the Spirit of God wants us to go through a wilderness experience. But it's in that wilderness where we find the very, very providence of God, the very, very provision of God, the very, very knowing that even though I'm in the wilderness, God's Word is true and God's Word is faithful. It's in that wilderness experience. And when Jesus came out of the wilderness, it's an amazing thing. He went into the synagogue and he sat down and he began to read the Bible, and it said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for He hath anointed me to preach deliverance to the captive, to set in liberty those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord to the poor." And I'm going to turn to the Scripture and read it verbatim. But listen to me, my brother and sister. It's important that we allow the Spirit of God to move and work in our lives. The enemy would throw all kinds of distractions in our lives. He'll use our husbands, our wives, our kids, whatever He can to keep us from being distracted from God's Spirit speaking to us. Because when God's Spirit speaks to us, those of us in here that are saved, we know when God's Spirit speaks to us. We know when God speaks to us. And we know that when we know that we have to do what God's Spirit says. And it's in that Spirit that's inside of us, that convicts us, that draws us. As we begin to obey it, it begins to flow like mighty rivers of living water. We want God's rivers, but we don't want to bow to the Spirit of God that's on the inside of us, because we're not walking in the Spirit. We're walking too much in the flesh. And the Bible says the Spirit and the flesh, they're at war. And we give more to our flesh than we give to our spirit. And God wants us to give more to our spirit man than to our flesh man. I mean, we feed this flesh man three times, maybe four times, five times a day, depending on how many times you might eat. We drink our sodas. Brother Sean, are you saying this is wrong? Hey, it can all be wrong if we allow it to be. Thank you for the amens and the holy grunts and murmurs. But it can all be wrong. See, God's not asking for perfection. He's asking for a willing heart. Too many times people assume that you've got to be perfect to be a Christian. No, you just got to be willing to give up your life to Him. And too many people aren't willing to give up their life for Him. They want to be in control of their life. I'm not in control of my life. If I was in control of my life, I'd be a wreck. I'd be a mess. No telling where I'd be this morning if I was in control. But I'm not in control. I have a master. You have a master. And it's because I allow the Spirit of God to convict me, to draw me, to change me. There are things the Spirit of God has done in me that a seminary couldn't do. There are things the Spirit of God will do in you and me that no conference in the world could ever do. You can go to a 3-day conference and not be changed, but the Spirit of God can touch you one time and you can be changed. It's in that. Some of you in here have got kids that are driving you nuts, but I'm here today to tell you the Spirit of God is going to move upon them and is going to draw them. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by the very Spirit of God. See, we have a heritage. We have a heritage, my brother and sister, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. We've also got a heritage that is not by might nor by power, but it's by His Spirit. We've got a heritage that upon your seed, that's referring to your children, my brother and sister, a righteous remnant. They may kick against the pricks, they may scream, they may cry, but a day is going to come when God, by His Spirit, is going to call them Himself. And when He begins to call them Himself, it doesn't matter how far they run or where they try to hide. The very Spirit of God knows how to go places where we can't go and draw them by His Spirit and call them out into righteousness. It's that very Spirit that formed this world that lives on the inside of you and lives on the inside of me. A mighty Spirit. We're not talking about something that is just a little thing. We're talking about something that is precious and something that is holy and something that is mighty. Something that is true and something that's as real as me and you sitting here tonight. The very Spirit of God. It's in His Spirit that we live and move and have our being. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus I now live. It's not by might nor by power, my brothers and sisters, but it's by His Spirit. Get out of the way and let the Spirit of God do His job. Give your kids to the Lord. Let the Spirit of God draw them. Let the Spirit of God convict them. We all have problems, but we have a God whose Spirit lives on the inside of us that wants to take care of those problems. If you're, you struggle every day with peace, it's because you're not bowing to the Prince of Peace and you don't have a realization of what's on the inside of you if you become born again. There's power that lives on the inside of you, and it's not power to be toyed with or played with. It's a power for a purpose. It's a power for a destiny. And there are many of you in here today that don't, maybe you don't understand the power. Maybe you don't understand the destiny. Give way to the Spirit of God and let the Spirit of God lead you and guide you and direct you. If you've been born again, I'm going to tell you that he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You're free by the blood of the Lamb. You're free by his precious Spirit. When Samson came and was bound by those cords, the Spirit of the Lord fell upon him, and those cords began to melt like burning flasks. They melted off of him by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. The enemy can come in like a flood, but the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. You don't have to fight in the battle. There's nothing you have to do. God's very precious Spirit will raise up a banner. Well, if you want to get technical, will raise up a wall in front of you. It's a wall of partition. It's a wall that blocks. It's almost as if we walk around sometimes as if God's not our helper. No, he is our helper, my brother and sister. It's the very Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you, that lives on the inside of me, that wants to get out of us to a lost, damned, and dying world. But we've got to allow him. We've got to allow him to have free course in our lives and in our eyes, our ears, our noses. We've got to let the Spirit of God take control of us as he wants to. You're not going to have any peace unless you allow the Spirit of God complete access to your life and heart. Amen. Not going to have any joy unless you allow God's Spirit to just take control of you. You might struggle with cigarettes. You might struggle with pornography. But the very Spirit of God can deliver you. Amen. The very Spirit of God can set you free. I saw my dad struggle with cigarettes for years, and I kept praying and I kept praying and I kept praying, and we would have Bible studies at the house, and some of the kids would write on there, "This is, you shouldn't be doing this. Your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost," and he would get mad, but he knew it was the truth, but he didn't know how to get free. He didn't know how to get free. And the reason he struggled with it for years, and he can testify to this, is because there was a place in his heart that he really didn't want to give up to the Lord. Because the moment he gave that place up in his heart to the Lord is the very moment he was set free from cigarettes. The very, very moment. We can't have any hidden things in our hearts. You know, you might come down here. You might get saved to make your parents happy or assume you make your parents happy, but God knows the hearts, my brother and sister. Man looketh on the outward, the Bible says, but it's God that looks upon the heart. God knows how many people in this room are really truly born again, and he knows how many people are really not born again. There are people who don't like to come here because the very Spirit of God convicts. But it's in that very Spirit of God. There's a precious Spirit in this place. A Spirit that keeps our flesh in check. And it's that very Spirit that keeps it bridled. That keeps it under control. And there, why people don't want that, I don't understand. Because if I didn't have that, I might not be saved. I might backslide. But it's because it's here and it convicts us and it draws us that I'm here today. Our flesh needs to be in check. Amen. We need to check it with the Spirit of God and the Word of God. The Bible says the Spirit and the Word agree. Amen. You're not going to have one differ from the other. The moment that happens, you better have whoever's ministering sit down quick or run out of there. Because the Spirit and the Word agree. That's right. Isaiah 59:19 says this. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My Spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of thy mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forevermore. So for all you mothers and fathers out there that are struggling with your kids, I want you to write that scripture down, and I want you to go home and read it. I want you to go home and study it. I want you to go home and claim it over your kids, because you have a heritage. You have a heritage. You have a heritage in a covenant with Almighty God, that our seed seed is going to be saved, and our seed seed is going to be righteous. Now, they have a choice to make, but I'm going to tell you something. There's something about that choice. We have an edge because we serve a mighty God. We have an edge because we have the very Spirit of God, and we know how to pray. We have an edge because we can say, Holy Spirit, we don't know how to save them. We don't know how to draw them, but you do. You do, precious Spirit of the living God, and you know how to draw them, and you know how to convict them, and it's in that very, very Spirit. You just need to give your kids to the Lord, hallelujah, and let the Spirit of God deal with them. Because I'm going to tell you something right now, the Spirit of God knows how to deal with every situation in your life. He knows how to deal with your heart. He knows how to deal with your brokenness. He knows how to deal with that pain. He knows how to deal with that insignificantness that you feel. The very Spirit of God knows how to feel. I want you to know that there's no child of God that's in significant in the kingdom of God. Everyone has significance. Everyone has a plan. Everyone has a purpose in the kingdom of God. You might not have understand that purpose. You might not understand that plan. It might not be fulfilled in your life. It might not be out in the outskirts of your life. You might not see it. It might be in the distance. But I'm telling you, every child of God has a plan. Every child of God has a purpose. God's not going to waste precious oil. If He's put precious oil on you, He's going to use you in these last days. This is the very Spirit of God that's going to move and brew upon His people and get His people a praying again, and get His people into righteousness again, and get His people into right living again. But I can't do it, but God's Spirit can. You can't do it, but His precious Spirit can. We need to learn to lean, like the old song said, on Jesus again. We need to learn to lean on the precious Spirit of the living God again. It's Him. We live and move and have our being in Him. The life that we once lived, we lived according to the flesh. But Paul said, the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. See, it's in Him we live and move and have our being. Outside of Him we have no peace, but in Him we have peace. In Him, outside of Him we have no joy, but in Him we have joy. It's all about Jesus, my brother and sister. It's all about Him. Turn with me, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 4. I want to read this. Let's go to verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of Him through all the region round about. And He taught in their synagogue, being glorified of all, and came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And He closed the book, and He gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. If you don't know what fasting means, is they were looking on Him heavily. And He began to say unto them, "This is the day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." What a day that must have been, that the very, 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 very Son of God when he read that scripture, Bible prophecy in the book of Isaiah prophesied that this day would come. And that very day that Jesus read that, that very Bible prophecy came to pass and came true in Jesus' life. And thank God that we don't serve a God that does that says one thing and does another. If God says it, you can bet He's going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If He gives you a promise that your kids are going to be saved, you can bet that your kids are going to be saved. If you can bet that if you're behind on your mortgage and God said He's going to provide, He's going to come through and He's going to provide. Because that is the very God that we serve. We don't serve a God who's dead and who has no power. We serve a God who has all power and all authority over all the power of the enemy. That is the God that I serve. That is the God that we serve. I don't serve a God who doesn't know how to get a hold of my children. He knows how to get a hold of them. He knows how to convict them. He knows how to let their sin come out and let them get caught in the act of it. And it absolutely drives them insane. They don't understand. But you know what? I understand because I've been there. I know what it's like to be wrong with God and not want God and my sin be found out and my parents find out. But you know what? Now that I'm older, I'm glad that my sins got found out. I'm glad that my mom and dad brought me to church. And I'm glad that I'm a Christian. I'm glad that I'm on my way to heaven. At the time, I wasn't so glad. But the day came when I was glad. I was glad. I was so, so very glad. Some through the fire. Some through the flood. But understand this, my brother and sister. We all get there through the blood. It's through His precious, precious blood. The spirit of a man in the book of Proverbs will sustain his infirmities, the scripture says, but a wounded spirit who can bear? There are times you walk with the Lord long enough, your spirit's going to get wounded. You're going to get hurt. Somebody's going to hurt you and they may not even realize they hurt you. And then bitterness tries to set in and you got to wrestle with that. But the spirit of a man will sustain his or her infirmities. But a wounded spirit who can bear? That's why Paul said, I pray with my understanding and I pray in the spirit. Because see, it's in the spirit that when you pray in the Holy Ghost, it's in that time of prayer in the Holy Ghost that your spirit's sustaining your infirmities, my brother and sister. It's in that time when you feel that you're all weak, that it's God's Spirit that takes over and takes up the battle from you and says, this battle is now mine because you gave it to me. Too many times we're trying to wrestle and fight the battle instead of giving over to the Spirit of God and let the Spirit of God fight the battle. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God will do more in 1 minute than we'll do in 6 months or 6 days, my brother and sister. The Spirit of God knows how to move. The Spirit of God knows how to do His business. We need to get out of the way and let God's Spirit do His thing. Too many churches are doing their thing when God wants to do His thing. Is this good water? Thank you. I didn't want to drink it if it was lukewarm and spit it on Brother Mike. That's why I asked. It's God's Spirit. If we can just let God speak to our hearts like He wants to speak to it today. And get a fresh revelation. It's not a new one. It's just something that God wants to reiterate to us. God wants us to go back and look at again and say, hey, my spirit's pretty amazing. My spirit's pretty awesome. Don't get away from my spirit, but allow my spirit to move in your life. Allow my spirit to touch and to change your life. Allow my spirit to love on you. You'll never know the love of God unless you let the Spirit of God love on you. And oh, I'm telling you, He'll love on you like no one else can love on you. There's no man that can love on you like the man Christ Jesus. There's no woman that can love on you like the man Christ Jesus. You're not going to find fulfillment in a man, but the man Christ Jesus. That's who you're going to find your fulfillment in. It's in Jesus. When my wife got saved, It's an amazing thing that when you get saved, God does miraculous things. When my wife got saved, she was involved with a man and she called him on the phone and says, "Look, I can't see you anymore." Nobody told her to do that. Nobody told her to do that. She called this man up and says, "Look, I can't see you anymore. I went to church, I got saved." That is what the Spirit of God does, my brother and sister. Old things pass away and everything becomes brand new. I don't know a salvation where when you get saved, you hold on to your drugs, your alcohol, and your pornography, and your rock and roll. But I do know a salvation where when you get saved, everything is brand spanking new. You give it all up for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I don't know of any other type of salvation than that salvation. That is salvation. I'm not saying you won't have difficulties with certain things, but what I am saying is old things pass away and all things become new. Amen. When I got saved, cigarettes left me. Marijuana left me. I didn't have to come down and have the pastor pray for me. It was something the Spirit of God did. It was something that the Spirit of God wants to do in people today. The very Spirit of God wants to change the very hearts and lives of men, women, boys, and girls. And only He can change those lives. I said only He can change those lives. If you're trying to change your children, stop it. Have your rules, have your regulations. But we can't change anybody. But God can. You might have that old sourpuss husband that hasn't gotten saved. But God knows how to save the ungodly. I don't know a salvation where I get saved and don't come to church. I don't know that type of salvation. I don't know a salvation where I say the sinner's prayer and God's Spirit comes on the inside of me and I can't come to His house in fellowship with my brothers and sisters. I don't know that type of salvation. I only know that the Scripture tells us that when I'm born again, brotherly love comes in and my spirit bears witness with Doug's spirits that we are the sons of the living God. And because we have love one to another, the whole world's going to know that we are His disciples. And it's in that love where God's Spirit moves and flows. See, when we come into the unity of the faith, when we come into that precious unity where it drips down Aaron's beard, we gotta let the Spirit of God, let love begin to emulate in our body. And it is. There's a love that's been growing here over the past month, 2 months. A knitting together, a bonding like never before, and I'm telling you, we're on the verge of a mighty manifestation of God's Spirit. We are on the verge of God getting ready to bust out and to burst out. Hallelujah. We waited for things for so long and we don't know necessarily when they're going to come or how they're going to come. But I'm telling you, as we allow the Spirit of God to change us and to mold us into His image and not the image that we think we should be or the image that the church thinks we should be, but into Christ's image. That is the ultimate image that we could allow ourselves to be, is to be like our Master. And if you don't want to be like your Master, something's wrong. Something's seriously, seriously wrong. Because everybody that followed Jesus wanted to be like Him. Because there was something different about Him. That's why we're different. Because He was different. Now the world, it's not going to love us. It's not going to like us. As a matter of fact, it's going to despise us and hate us because we're not in the world. We should live in contrast to this world. The older I get, the more we need Jesus back into the churches of America. We need men to bow at the foot of the cross again and to get on their faces before they preach in their congregations and allow the Spirit of God to move into those assemblies like He wants to move. What I'm about to say next isn't easy, but it must be said. We're living in a time where if America doesn't turn around real soon, she's headed into some serious trouble. Not with man, but with Almighty God. If He judged Israel, He's going to judge America. That's not saying America can't be turned. But we're living in a day the Bible talks about that happened, or that would happen, and that men would love darkness more than they would love the light. That is the day that we live in right now, my brother and sister. That men love darkness rather than light. And when men love darkness rather than the light, the Bible says they're already judged. Because they choose the darkness over this precious light. And I pray that if you're at the sound of my lips and you haven't chosen this precious light, that you would allow the Spirit of God to convict you and to draw you and to change you, to save you. Because we are all going to die one day. If Jesus tarries, some of us are up in years and we're going to pass away. God forbid something bad happen and our life get taken from us at a young age. Things happen that we can't explain. We have the minister at Bell Souls Baptist Church. He and his son died in a plane wreck. You're not promised tomorrow, the Scripture says. The Bible says your life is but a vapor. And if you think about a gas vapor, how quickly that evaporates. That's exactly what your life is like. Nothing says that when you lay your head down tonight, you're going to wake up in the morning. My question to you is, if you don't wake up in the morning, where are you going to be? You can tell me you're saved, but God knows the heart. You can tell me you've said the sinner's prayer, but God knows the heart. Man looketh on the outward, but it's the Lord Almighty that tries the reins of the hearts. It's His very Spirit that tries them. Get some life back to you. Get into this man called Jesus. Would you please stand? I'm not here, God Almighty, this is a record for this church, but I've said this once and I'm going to say it again. I'm not here to try to be like our pastor. That is not why I'm here. I'm here to just do what God lays on my heart and deliver what God lays on my heart. And I think it's a growing experience that you have somebody who's not trying to mimic or imitate somebody. If I could mimic anybody, I want to mimic Jesus. That's the ultimate that I would want to mimic. But the service ain't over. We're going to have some worship. And I want you to allow the Spirit of God to change you and to rearrange your heart if necessary and to reprioritize your life if necessary. I want you to allow the Spirit of God to heal all the brokenness that may be on the inside of your heart. I want you to allow the Spirit of God to touch those places that only you and Him know about, that you haven't told nobody. All the emptiness that you might feel, all the unworthiness that you might feel, I want you to allow His Spirit to touch it. I want you to allow His love to flow to you. Because He loves you with a mighty, mighty love. Mighty, mighty, mighty love does He love you. He loved you more than any man, woman, boy, and girl. Christ loves you. When you're feeling down and blue, go look in the mirror and say, Christ the Son of the living God loves me just the way I am. That doesn't mean we can't do better. It just means that the way we sit, we have to remember that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He doesn't ask perfection in the sense that we can be sinlessly perfect, but He does ask us to grow up and become mature in the Lord. And oh, this church is becoming more and more mature. There are things that used to bother us that we're kind of just shaking off and saying, it's okay. It's like a bump in the road. It's another stepping stone that we have to go through before we see the glory of Almighty God. And you mark my words that when the glory begins to fall and God's Spirit begins to move, there are going to be people that are going to want to flock back to the Holy Church of God. And they're going to want their positions because God's Spirit is now moving. And we're not looking for man's approval. We're looking for God's approval. But understand that I respect the fact that my pastor doesn't allow just anybody to sing, to do the sound, to lead worship, or to minister when he's gone. I believe he earnestly prays and asks the Spirit of God and looks for faithfulness. See, we look for faithfulness here. Too many churches don't look for faithfulness. But we look for faithfulness. If you want to sing on this platform, show us how faithful you can be on Sunday morning and Sunday night. I didn't make those requirements. Our pastor did. I'm just the messenger. But allow the Spirit of God to convict you. Allow the Spirit of God to move on the inside of you. Allow His precious Spirit to mold you into what He's longed to mold you into. Some of you struggle, and I as well, with bad attitudes, and the Spirit of God wants to change that. That doesn't mean you're never going to have a bad attitude again. It just means God wants to be able to change that. And when you do have it, say, hey, wait a minute. The Spirit of God wants to be able to convict us. We're not like other people, my brother and sister. God wants us unique. God wants us different. I'm not like everybody else. God wants me different, wants my wife different. And it's not easy. But you know what? As I give way to the Spirit of God, it becomes easy. As I get out of the way and say, I don't want any of my flesh. I don't want any of myself in the way. And as I begin to allow God's Spirit, everything begins to make sense. When you allow God's Spirit to work in your life, there's a peace that comes over you. It doesn't matter what you're going through. There's a supernatural sustaining peace that comes over you. And peace you can't buy. Peace you can't find in a drug or alcohol or in a man or a woman. But it's a peace that comes from Almighty God because He is the Prince of Peace. Doug, will you give us number 12? I want you to just worship. Just worship.